Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
John McClain joins us for his weekly visit, presented by Horn Solutions. Sean Pendergast is out for a few days, so Wade Smith is filling in for Sean, and I'm just me, plain old Seth. John, we talked earlier about how Malik Collins and Laremy Tunsil were out. We don't know exactly why, but it's probably not that big a deal in the grand scheme of things. Feels like there are a couple other absences around the league that are definitely bigger deals. I think the most notable one of those might be Kyler Murray with the Arizona Cardinals. What are you making of the Kyler Murray situation right about now?
Seth and Wade, I was talking to a friend of mine in that organization the other day, and he said, well, he didn't show up for many last year. He worked out in Dallas. But now it's about money, and everybody knows it's about money. And players can say they're going to hold out. Their agents can say they're going to hold out. And when you guys played, you could. And the team would say, okay, if you come in, we'll drop the fines. They can't do that anymore based on this last CBA, and it's $40,000 a day. That's why Watson showed up when he was supposed to show up last year, even though his agent had told the Texans no way he's showing up, and he had told David Culley there was no way he would show up because he wanted to avoid the fines. So we had what you kind of call it a hold in. Dwayne Brown did that till Seattle tweaked his contract. He came in, was injured. Remember when Jalen Ramsey wanted out? Oh, his back was hurting or his hamstring. So I'm guessing Kyler Murray's not going to get fined $40,000 a day, that he'll come in and either play or be hurt. It seems like, and you guys would know this with because you played, how hard would it be if you were unhappy with your contract and if you stay away? You know, agents used to say, don't have contact with anybody. You don't want to be tempted to come in. If you're going to hold out, you know, disappear. Don't talk to your teammates, your coaches, nobody. Well, today, if you have to come in, how hard would it have been to be there and your teammates are going out and working, trying to do everything to win? You think it'd be hard for Murray and these other guys if they report so they don't get fined, but they have these mysterious injuries? How hard would that be?
I think it would be hard if you actually wanted to stay at the franchise that you're at. Like in a lot of the examples that you gave, like Deshaun and Jalen Ramsey, those guys were wanting out. They wanted to leave. And so it wasn't hard for them because they were just like, hey, y'all want me here, I'm going to be here. But you know, I don't want to be here, but if you're not going to find me either. So it's going to be, I'm going to make it uncomfortable. It is for you, for me, as it is for you. Are you for us, for me? So that's why I'm going to be here. But at the same time, it's not going to bother me too much because I'm trying to get out of here anyway. I think it might have been harder for maybe Dwayne because he wasn't really trying to get out of there. He wanted to be there and he wanted to practice, but he just wanted to be paid what he felt like he was worth. I think Kyler is with a quarterback. You're talking about a guy that a quarterback is literally the catalyst for everything on your team. And if your quarterback is not happy, if your quarterback is not in the fold, that permeates to everybody on the team. That isn't necessarily the case if Malik Collins isn't here for a day, or you know, if Wade Smith misses a day of OTA. It doesn't make any difference in the grand scheme of things. But Kyler Murray, that does matter. And so
yeah,
they got to figure that out as far as the organization. Like, what do we need to do to either move on from him or make him happy to where you can start building on what you've done to this point? Because you're not getting better being away from the facility, especially if you're a quarterback. Like quarterbacks, they got a new receiver. It was the Hollywood Brown came from Baltimore. Now, I don't know if they're doing workouts on their own, but you would want him to be there to work with that guy to get a relationship, especially since DeAndre Hopkins is going to miss the first six games. So they got some issues down there in Arizona that they got to work through.
Yeah, and that's John, honestly, when you said that Kyler Murray wasn't there for a lot of the OTAs last year, I feel like maybe I heard that at some point but didn't think much of it. But now in this context, in thinking about him as a young quarterback, not being there for OTAs and not being there for workouts, that's a little bit of a red flag for me. And I wonder if I wonder how the Cardinals perhaps feel exactly about Kyler Murray and his contract demands and whether he's worth it just based on a guy like that who should be in the position of just being there all the time and being the guy that beats everybody else into the building and out of the building, even in the off season. Are there people with raised eyebrows or with raised eyebrows about it last year when he wasn't around?
I don't think so, because he made it clear what he was doing, and he did come in when he would come in when he needed to. Isn't it interesting the way he's doing this compared to Lamar Jackson, where they want to sign Lamar Jackson to an extension, but he doesn't want an extension? I got a question. I'm glad I got you guys here because you're former players. We hear all the time, distraction, distraction, distraction. Is something like this with Murray not being there and it being written, broadcast, talk shows talking about it constantly, social media, when y'all were playing, was something like that a distraction, or did y'all just let it go in one ear and out the other when you were at work?
I think a lot of it depends on, obviously, what distraction level are we talking. And then the other is just the leadership on the team and in the locker room. And I think the biggest example of this that I kind of have secondhand knowledge of would be from Kyle Brady is a guy that I played with, but he was in New England the year after Spygate. You know, so he wasn't on the team and involved in any of it when it happened, but he got there after it happened. So he saw that year after where the Patriots just went on a tear. And I asked him about it. I saw him in the offseason. I said, so what was that like? You know, like, how did you guys handle that? And he said, honestly, the leadership on that team was so strong that I never would have even known it was a thing. Like, it was each position had guys that were veteran leaders and like keep guys focused, and it just wasn't a distraction at all. So I think there's other teams where it's not that tight and they end up, it ends up getting to guys. I think that like the teams that I were on that were good, the distractions tended to come more from so many guys wanting new contracts. The kind of that disease of me that they talk about in basketball, where all of a sudden you have some success and all of a sudden everybody wants to get paid. And that ended up being a distraction. But I don't know, Wade, did you, was Arian's veganism ever a big distraction for you guys?
No, not really at all. This is the thing though, like the whole idea of distractions, like, a guy not being there, if you have, like you mentioned it when you were talking about it just a minute ago, if you have a lot of guys that are pros, those pros, those type of guys on there, you're going to figure out a way to refocus and adjust to whatever and adapt to whatever situation is put in front of you and figure out a way of, all right, I'm just going to imagine right now, you know, for instance, Kyler Murray is not here. We're going to imagine this is what it's like when Kyler gets hurt, if he gets hurt. We actually had a situation in the last couple of years where he's been hurt, and we didn't play well when he wasn't here when he was hurt, and it cost us. We didn't make it to the playoffs. So now while I'm in these OTAs and this mini camp, he's not here, I'm going to view this is how it's going to be. If this happens coming up next year or this next season, this is how we're going to handle it. Because I don't think there's any other quarterbacks on the roster with Arizona that's like Kyler Murray. They're none of the guys are like him, so you got to have to redirect and refocus of how you do things and how you adjust and how, okay, that this quarterback's drop is going to be deeper or shorter than what Kyler's is. This guy's not going to run around. He's going to stay in the pocket. So I need to make sure I'm handling my business in a certain way accordingly to that and adjust to that. If you have a lot of pros on your team, that's how they'll handle it. If you have guys on your team that it will, because there's always distractions, but if you don't have enough guys that know how to handle distractions and keep guys focused, then it will cause issues with guys on the team, and it will have a lasting effect throughout the season. I think with Arizona, you know, they got some guys that are some pros there, but they also, you know, they got some young guys there too. To me, if I'm an offensive lineman, it's difficult for you to simulate any other quarterback except for Kyler Murray, because they're night and day. So it's going to be tougher on those guys, but if they look at it the right way, they could take it as an opportunity to make the best out of it and simulate if this to happen towards the year. And that's something that, like, if you're talking about, like, here in Houston, like, Nick Caserio, his whole deal is being able to adjust and adapt and whatever. There's going to be so many scenarios that can come up, and being able to seamlessly move into that situation. If you're on this team, if you're a Houston Texan, you have to be one of those type of guys, or you're not going to be around. If you're stagnant, if you're, hey, I have to have it this way, and that's the only way I can be successful, those guys end up getting themselves weeded out when you have programs like here in Houston.
John, Real Sports covered the Deshaun Watson case last night. Were you able to watch it?
I did, and because I've read the lawsuit so much, there was nothing that I hadn't read, but seeing it and listening to it shines a new light on it than actually just reading the words. And, you know, it's all about when Goodell, when his investigator makes a recommendation, and she says no penalty, then there's no penalty. And if she says, I recommend this, then it can be appealed to him or someone he appoints. And I just can't imagine they're not going to recommend some kind of suspension. It's just a matter of how much.
John, let me ask you this. If she recommends, hey, I think he should be suspended X amount of games because he broke COVID protocols, would she be able to do that? Or is her deal only, like, did he have misconduct? Like, is she investigating, talking about Lisa Friel, is she investigating just the sexual actual misconduct aspect of it? Or is that Goodell's deal where he's like, hey, anything COVID related or anything protocol related, that's my deal, and I can help? Like, how does that part work?
That all works with her. She takes everything into consideration, and she'd say, I think he should be suspended for a season, and then you appeal it, and appeal may go, oh boy, we got TV to worry about. We got all these ratings in the playoff race to worry about. The Browns being in the playoffs is great for the league, so we're going to knock it down to well, there's no more half, keep saying half, to 8 games, something like that. And I think that everything he does and they do, the court of public opinion and how it affects the NFL or how they perceive it affects the NFL absolutely counts.
John, there's one exchange that I'll play here. That I thought, like, I'm with you. It's different when you see some things that you've seen in transcript form, than, you know, actually spoken in real form. It does affect you. But one of the plaintiffs that spoke to Real Sports is Kyla Hayes. And I thought this was a really good example of being able to see both sides of the story, because Rusty Harden has put out a few texts that would seem to put the plaintiffs in a bad light when they had texted afterwards with Deshaun. And Kyla Hayes kind of explained her side of it here. Here's her talking to Soledad O'Brien.
In response to these claims, Watson's legal team has challenged the accuser's credibility, pointing out that some, including Kyla Hayes, remained in contact with Watson for months after the alleged assaults, in some cases even discussing possible follow-up appointments.
People will look at your interaction after what you're saying was an assault and say, how could it be an assault? Here she is texting with him.
I wasn't sure what he was capable of. He could have physically assaulted me. He could have bashed my business. So I had to protect myself and my business the best way I saw fit. Did I ever see him again after that? No. Did I give him the runaround? Yes.
John, I just felt like that exchange kind of struck to the heart of why these cases are so hard to evaluate and either try or make decisions on, that both arguments have some validity to it.
I think so, and that goes to credibility, because most people can't imagine if something happened to you that you believe is so profound that you would still do that. I mean, it's not like we're talking about a high-profile football player, the most high-profile in our city, it just makes you think, and if it ends up in court and the civil suits, it could be perceived, it's kind of a lack of credibility to me when I hear that. And he's innocent until he's proven guilty, and they deserve to be heard. They filed the civil suits. Now, a few of them have gone public. They've gone public before. We've had a lot of stories. The Chronicle has had a lot of stories over the last 16 months talking to the plaintiffs and them telling their side of the tale. But everybody just wants it to be over. And it's not fair to the Browns fans, if they don't get this done. I know they'd love to have it over by the start of camp so they'd know where they are, but at least during camp so they have time to prepare, because I can't imagine there's anybody out there right now who thinks he's going to be the quarterback when they begin regular season, including the TV people who put him December 4th against the Texans.
John McClain, thanks for coming in. You got anything to promote this week?
Now, I'm just doing a lot of tweets that I had observations yesterday, and I'll be back in tomorrow night with Mark and John, and I'll be at our remote on Friday. And Seth and Wade, it's great seeing you guys as always. Thank you very much. It's always an honor.
Thank you, John. And coming up next, Wade and I are going to evaluate Jeremy Pena's acting chops as he takes over the mantle from Carlos Correa in the HEB commercials.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.